Remember the title of the sermon last week? You are God, and I am not. You are God, and I am not. Why would we have a title like that? Have an idea? Oh, talking about obedience, or like Janiah said, because he's God and we're not. Well, you know what? Everybody has someone who runs their life. Everybody has someone who they answer to, who they follow. And through the years, there's a verse that's, there's a lot of verses, but one of them is John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then if you read down in verses 23 and 24, it says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandments. So when we say we love him, but then we don't obey his word, do we love him? How about your kids? I love you, mommy, but I'm going to do what I want. What I'm saying is, it's self-love. It's not mommy love. You see what I'm saying? They don't love the mom, they love themselves. They want to be the Lord of their life. God gives every one of us a chance and a choice of who we're going to serve. We have a free will. We get to choose who we're going to live for. What most people don't realize is that either you're living for God or you're living for the devil. Either you're living for light or you're living for darkness. Either you're living for truth or you're living for lies. And they go on and they wonder, why is my life like this? If God's so good, why is all this happening in my life? Look at your choices. Do you want to say something? Sure, come on. I didn't even get started.
Oh, yeah, I already danced a hole in my socks.
Go ahead.
I had to flip my socks.
There's only a hole on one side.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, everybody. God opened my heart to some things. He opened up my heart to that meaning of let go and let God. Because I've been trying to, I was trying to save and trying to save and trying to save and trying to do things on my own. Never could save a dollar. 3 weeks ago, God, I finally, out of my heart, said, God, this is, you take it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Because when it say let go and let God, it comes from your heart, not your lips. And ever since I did that, God has provided me with money every single day. Everything that I need in that house, since I let go and let God and not put me in the picture, God has provided, and he answers me immediately. Not waits. Immediately he comes. So God is real, and you got to let go in your heart and let God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn over to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. When we were just listening to a song, and it said something to the effect of, oh yeah, I remember. It goes like this. I am, God said, I am that I am. He said, I am holding on to you. See, he's holding on to us. Some people read that, and the way Steve typed it was, I'm holding on to God. Sometimes we can't hold on to him, but he's always holding on to us. He doesn't let go. God loves you, and he wants you. The reason we're reading this chapter, I believe, is because God wants to do some life skills inside of us. Verse 23 is a verse I got back in 1977, and I've never gotten over this verse. This verse just gripped me, where it says, I'm sorry, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And when I remember when I read that, I remember when that verse was brought to me back in 1977, and what God dealt with me in is He wanted obedience. He wanted me to obey him. Not him tell me and then me choose what I was going to do with it. I had a talk with one of my employees. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. And I said to them, I appreciate very much one of my newer employees. And I said, I appreciate very much that when you're somewhere that you try to help me, that you try to figure things out, that you take the initiative, that you want to help and make something work. I said, but I've been doing this 25 years. And I said, I don't want you to reinvent the wheel. I said, I can't be everywhere. I've got three employees. I can't be where every one of you are. I said, so when you are somewhere, if something is not like what it says on the work order, call me. If the customer wants something different, call me. Include me. That's what God says. I want to be in your life every minute of the day. He said, every time you put your hands on the steering wheel, he said, you're not letting go and letting God. He said, you've got your hands on the steering wheel and you're steering where it should go. We try to get our mates to do things, try to get our kids to do things, try to work out stuff in our life, save money. All these things we try to do. I don't know if you ever heard this saying, but if God had a bad day, our best day wouldn't compare. God is like so above us, and he wants to be our life, not our spare tire God we use in emergencies. We call out, you know, when we have somebody get sick. We have people that when they get sick or somebody in their family gets sick, then they call us apart from, and they want us to pray. They believe in prayer then, but they don't believe in prayer any other time. They don't want anything to do with God, but he's their emergency tire God. When they have problems, then they call us, and they're like so desperate for us to pray. God's not looking for visitation rites where he just wants us to come on Sunday and, okay, we came to a building and that's what it's about. God wants to be our life. John 1:4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is my life. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when I quote all these verses, there was a time we were at a church service. It was, I think it was in a tent. No, it was just kind of like a revival meeting, and this preacher preached, and I was trying to write down the verses as fast as he was quoting them, and there was at least 150 verses, and everybody said, that was wonderful, he used all these verses. That's good to use all those verses, and I like to do that. But what are we doing with the verse? Are we just reading it and going on, or what did we get out of the verse? Are you with me? The reason that we're reading this chapter, it's not just about obedience. It's about helping you have life skills from God to help you in your everyday life, but based on the Word of God, based on what God says, God's way of doing things. That's what we always are trying to do. So let's look at this chapter, and let's have a word of prayer right before we do. Father, I just want to lift up this time to you and lift up each one of my friends here unto you. And I just say, Father, we need you desperately. We can't breathe without you. We can't go forward without you. We can't live the Christian life without you. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't just want to know about what you say. We want to live Jesus. We love it when we're in truth. We love it when we're in peace. We love it when we're in your presence. We love it when you're blessing us, prospering us in our health, our finances, our marriage. We love that, Lord. So, Lord, teach us how to live there. We're asking that you would open our eyes, open our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in 1 Samuel, I asked you last week to again read that chapter for yourself. And last week we went through verse, I think it was through verse 15, wasn't it? Good. Okay. And then let's look at, start with verse 16. And what's happened up till now is King Saul, the man of God, Samuel came to him and said, and he reminded him, hey, God had me come and anoint you to be the king. God set you up as king. God always puts people in position. And then he said, God gave you, God says, this is what I created you for. This is what I have for you to do. I want you to go and kill all these people and everything that they have, just utterly destroy everything they have. The king went with the people. If I remember correctly, he had about 200,000 people. I don't remember what verse was that. 100,000, what is it? Nope, 200,000 and 10. And that's in verse 4. Anyway, and we're in verse 16 now. I'm just catching you up. And what ended up happening was they went there, and did the king obey and do what God told him to do? No. What did he do? Did he completely disobey, or did he just partially obey? Partially obey. He still disobeyed. Good. We're getting there. All right. Because obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. But obedience is doing exactly what you're told. If Patty tells Carson to do something and he does some of what she said, that's not doing exactly, so it's not obedience. It's disobedience. You follow what I'm saying? It's doing exactly what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. That's what obedience is. And the king was not obedient. Look at verse 16. Then the man of God, Samuel, said unto Saul the king, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And the king said unto him, say on. If somebody came to you and said, I was praying and God told me something, gave me a word for you, do you want to hear it? Everybody wants to hear it, right? Okay, watch this. Saul said that he wanted to hear what God had to say to him. But what if it isn't what he wanted to hear? Or what he thinks is right? Can I ask you a question? Why would Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? Why did Jesus say that? Doesn't everybody have ears? I mean, most people? Okay, spiritual ears. What does that mean? Hear in the spirit. What else? Why would Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? Hearken, behold, check it out. Yo. Okay. Why would Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? Everything she said is good. I'm asking you. It's important. If you don't hear the word, you can't do the word. Okay? Paula said. Why else would Jesus say that? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to look up, I'm not going to give it to you right now. I want you to look up those words, ears to hear, in a concordance. Okay? I'll give you a couple verses if you can cross-reference them from it. Matthew chapter 13, it's in there. Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 11, I believe. And it talks, when Jesus, he's talking, and at the end of it, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What if you're speaking to someone, they're looking at you, you ask them, what did you say? I was in school. I was a kid. Imagine that. I was a kid, and I was in school. And the teacher, but Harvey, was talking all the time in class. Yes, I can imagine that. And the teacher would say, Harvey, what did I say? And I could repeat word for word what she said. It's called verbatim. And the teachers would get so frustrated. I was hearing what they were saying, but is it just hearing and taking words in? Understanding? What else? Listen? Comprehend? Understand? Y'all, how about a simple word like do?
Obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's right. Now, I just want you to think about this. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I dare you to write that down and ask yourself this week, why did Jesus say that? Because a lot of people know things about the Bible. They know things that God has said. They can quote it to you. A lot of times they misquote it. They twist it a little. But does God just want us to know all this religious stuff? What good is it if we're not living it? Where is it in your life? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you want Jesus? If you don't, just tell me. I do. I just want him. I don't want to just know about him. I want to do what he says, but I want to do it exactly the way he wants it done. Exactly. I want to bless him. There's times my mom and dad told me to do stuff, and I went and did, or my teachers or whatever, and I'd go and do what they said, but I didn't do the way they wanted it or whatever. But I did exactly what they said. They couldn't find fault, but they knew my spirit wasn't right. You know what I'm talking about? My attitude wasn't right. I washed the dishes. Yeah, but they still got sticky stuff on them. My girls, one time, when we were growing up, just helping your parents. My kids, we'd had the girls wash dishes, right? And so one time, my wife, I said, I'm going to inspect them. Well, my girls have been washing, and I'd been noticing all this hard stuff on the plates when we get our food before you even get the food on it. You know what I'm saying? I don't like hard stuff from the last meal on my plate, you know, or on my fork in between the 20. It's just, woo, okay? I know it got, I know it had some soap run over it, but let's get it off, you know? So what I did was I opened the cupboard. I pulled out plates. I started going through them. Hard stuff, discolored, whatever. I said, open all the cabinets and rewash everything. You know what? When I did that, they started washing different after that. It was amazing. Parents, don't expect what you don't inspect. Inspect when you tell your kids something. Don't just tell them to go clean the room. After a while, and you walk in there and you start yelling at them because the room is like it is and clothes are stuffed under the bed, making the bed, you know, a double bunk bed, you know. Or like my son one time, I told you about Jim, you know, Sue said, before you can go, he wanted to go somewhere, teenager. She said, you got to go clean your room. His room looked like a cyclone, right? So he goes in there and he comes out in a very short time and said, it's clean. Sue walks in. She goes, how did you do this? Well, he did two things. He took clothes and he turned his single bed into a double bed because he pulled it out from the wall, shoved it all over, packed it down, made it smooth, and put the blanket over it. I didn't know you had a double bed, Jim. Well, you can't. He didn't. The other thing he did was he took clothes, the dirty clothes, and he stuffed them in the trash compactor down in the basement. Okay? Where'd all your clothes go, Jim? Because then he didn't remember, okay, where they were. Don't expect what you don't inspect. Most folks have ears. What did he mean? How does this apply to us personally? And then, so Samuel had a word for Saul, and the man said, I want to hear what God has to say. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. When you were little in your own sight. When we get lifted up, And now we're in charge. Who do you think you are? Preacher, who do you think you are telling me anything? Mom and Dad, who do you think you are? Then we get lifted up. And you know what? We're going to get hurt. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I hear people all the time, or read it, where people are blaming God. If God's so good, why did he let this happen? We were one time earned a trip down to someplace. There, everybody pays a lot of money to go. I don't remember. Oh, dude, it was like Cancun. That's where we went, right? Yeah, well, Sue and I. And I want to clarify. And so we go down there to Cancun. Well, some of the people, I mean, you know, they were drinking all the time and whatever, because the program they bought us, it was free drinks and stuff. They kept shoving drinks in our face and saying, I want a Coke. Yeah, but what do you want in it? I said, my tongue. You know, anyway, what I'm saying is people were drinking. Well, one couple, they had this young daughter who was like 17 years old. And they had bars in the hotels. And the daughter got attacked by two men, one man, two men, whatever it was. And everybody's all up in arms. Why did this happen? Man, what was she doing out at 2 in the morning? What was she doing not wearing enough clothes to make a good eye patch? I don't even have to wonder what her body looks like because I could see it. You know? And it's like you wonder, why is your 17-year-old, why is this happening? Because the choices that we make. You know, God loves you. God gives you parents. God gives you authorities. Now, you know what? We don't always like authorities. But you know something that God's brought to my attention recently? I don't know if you're at a place where you could do this, but it's something that he helped me to understand recently. America was started as a rebellious nation, rebelling against authority. In America, do you see a lot of pride and rebellion? Does anybody here see that? Anybody not see it? Raise your hand. You don't see that, please? Okay. God, I'm in a rebellious and a proud nation. And God, I become what I associate with. I don't want that to live in my life. I don't want to be a rebel. I don't want to be rebellious. But everything around me teaches rebellion and pride. God, I want to break agreement with that. I don't want that living in me. I want you living in me. I want to live in the kingdom of humility. See, you like it when people are kind and humble and help you. People thank me all the time for things I do, and they tell me I'm a good person. I say, it's not me. I'm just, didn't we? Dude, it's like, it's not me. I said, I'm just as selfish as any other person. I said, it's Jesus in me, and I chose to cooperate and let him live his life through me. I just want, I love letting him live through me. I love that. The king said he wanted to hear what God had to say to him. And then what God had to say was, when you were little in your sight, I promoted you. I made you a king. There was no way. You were the least of all the people, and I made you the king. And then I anointed you. And then I promoted you. And then I sent you on a mission, but you didn't obey. He said in verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? We just asked about it earlier. I don't remember who said it. Is partial obedience truly obedience? Is doing part of what you're told obedience? How about is true obedience when we only do what we're willing to do in the direction of what we were told? Well, I took the trash out. Yeah, you got it out of the house. You got it right outside on the back step where nobody can walk out, but you didn't put it in the trash can. You knew I meant I want you to put it in the trash can. Yeah, you washed the dishes, but you left hard stuff on them. You didn't rinse them. My mom one time, my brother and I washed dishes, and she said, whatever you do, don't break this dish Because it came from all these people, who knows, I don't know, came over on the Mayflower or something, I don't know, you know. Don't break this dish. My mom got out of the way. He took that dish and broke it on purpose right in front of me. My mom got so mad at him, she punished him really good. She said, okay, you can't do dishes. What do you think, he went and cried because he couldn't do dishes? She said, Harvey, you get to do the dishes. What'd I do? You know? I'm over there washing. He's supposed to be drying, right? The dude takes that dish. She said, whatever you do, don't break this. And broke it on purpose. And she said, okay, nobody, you won't get to do dishes anymore. What, you think that's a treat? Like, please, you know, no, I don't want the ice cream. Let me do dishes. I mean, what? You know? I don't know why I'm telling you that. Okay. I'm still mad I had to do those dishes, right? Yeah, please feel sorry for me. You know what this is? Smallest violin for the biggest sob story I ever heard. You know what this is? You know what this is? Stereo. Okay, here we go. Verse 20. You ready? Okay, you ready? So he said, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? He said, yes, I want to hear what God has to say. And he said, when you were little in your sight, God promoted you. But now you've made yourself bigger than God. You do what you want. God made you the king, and now you're going and doing whatever you want, and you're saying you're obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? In our life, ask ourselves, what are we obeying? Who are we following? Who do we want to be like? You know, you become like who you associate with. When I was in high school, and the kids would say, they would be smoking. No, I don't want to smoke. I used to take pour oil in my mom's cigarettes and stuff. It was a dirty habit. I didn't like it. And then guys were like, come on, do drugs. No, it's called dope. I don't want to be a dope. But then when my dad divorced my mom the second time, I was so upset and didn't know how to handle life. Clue. That's why we're talking here today. Are you hearing me? That's why we're talking here today, is to help you handle life. Because you have to face it every single day. You have to face hurts. You have to face rejection. You have to face attitudes. And then there's other people you have to deal with. You know what I mean? Let's get real. We have pain. I didn't know how to deal with all this stuff. So when my dad told me he was going to divorce my mom, I left the house. I begged my dad not to divorce my mom. He wouldn't. We have to get divorced. Why? That's it. That's between him and God. I left the house, went walking the street of my neighborhood, walking down the street crying. Friends of mine came by, got in the car. You know, they're passing a joint around. No, I don't want any of that. I just need somebody to listen to me, somebody to be my friend. Do you have anybody that tries to talk to you and share what's going on? Or have you ever tried to do that with people and they don't listen? They weren't listening. But as I breathe that stuff in, it calmed me down. I'm a pretty high-strung person. Now, I'm not black and hyper and run around in baggy pants, but I am pretty hyper. Some people think that. But I'm pretty hyper. So when I breathe that in, it calmed me down. And I said, let me try it. And that dope made me forget my problems. That's why they call it dope. It doped me up. Like when you go to the hospital and you're on anesthesia. It dopes you up. And that's why I became a drug dealer. That's why I did drugs 24 hours a day. Because I didn't know how to deal with life's problems. When I met Jesus, when I was 20 years old, it's like he let me know that there was hope, that he had the answers of how to deal with life's problems. I sleep like a baby every night. I have peace. I have joy all the time. And it's not like I'm perfect, that I've arrived, I'm better. No, I'm trying to tell you, it's possible to live in His presence. It's possible to walk on the water. It's possible to live above where you live. But it's a whole different life than what you're used to, and it starts with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you my last verse because God told me it was my last verse. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't even get what I'm talking about if you're not born again. You just hear me talking. You might get excited because I jump up on a chair, yell, talk about dope. You might yell, oh, he was funny. He was excited. Who cares? You know, because I throw a chair. You know, when I preach around the country, I used to throw chairs, do all kinds of stuff, stand on the pulpit. Who cares? I did that just because that's how God wired me, how things come out of me. I don't think about that stuff. I just do it. You know, I was witnessing. I walked into a root beer A&W over in Rochester Hills one time. I preached somewhere. We were going to an A&W, a bunch of people from the church. And my wife and I got there ahead of these other people. And I walked in and there was these four young people with mohawks like orange and bozo green and you know, wired for sound. I don't even know what. And my heart went out to them. I'm not mad at them. I'm not judging them. I'm not thinking so. I'm like, my heart's going out because you know why people do that? They're crying out. They're looking for something and they're trying everything. Unfortunately, they do A, B, C. Anything but Christ. They try everything but Christ. Now, sometimes they go to church and it's like cold, dead, boring, you know, because they're not looking for Jesus. They're just like, okay, I heard about God, maybe He's there. And then you go there and it's like, okay, we went through a service. That's why I talk like I do, because it catches your attention. That's why God made me and had let me go through the things I went through. I've cried many, many, many times and said, God, why didn't I meet You before I was 20? Six different denominations, six different churches, but different kinds of churches baptized me by the time I was 19. Nobody told me how to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to have Him. I want you to learn to hang out with Him. I want you to like hang out with Him every day, sit on His lap, hold Him, feel Him hold you. He's going to run His fingers through your hair. Not quite like that. Okay? He's going to kiss you. Okay? I'm serious. He's going to heal your little boo-boos. He's going to be right there when people hurt you and people drive like they do and cut you off and hold up, you know, fingers like as if that was how many legitimate parents they had or how many friends they had before their dog died. I don't know why they're holding up just one finger. I don't get all that stuff. You know? Maybe it's their IQ. I don't know. I don't know. Somehow they're deformed and I feel sorry for them. And I want to help them. And I saw these people at the A&W with their hair all like this. And my heart was like, oh God, I just want to get them to You because God wanted to get them to You. And most church people wouldn't know how to talk to them. So they, right after I walked in, I'm standing there in the line to order and I see them all in front of me. And they turn around and they all walk out. So I followed them. And I start talking to them in the parking lot. And while I'm talking, there's a verse in, I think it's Psalm 15, and it's another place like Psalm 53, and it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And I jumped up on one of their cars and was talking about how God was up in heaven looking down. Well, the manager called the police, and the police showed up. And by that time, I'd finished preaching to them, and I was back in there eating. And the cops came walking in the door. As soon as they did, God said, they're after you, Harv. I'm like, oh, good. So they came over to me. Can we talk to you outside? I said, sure, let's go. So we walked outside, and there was a good cop, and there was a bad cop. And the good cop was talking real nice. And the bad cop was like, he wanted to, you know, he's using his stick and, we're going to do something with you, you know. I'm like, put you in jail. And he was saying all kinds of really nice, warm, heartwarming stuff, you know. And And they take me over, and here's all these kids with the hair and the manager, this little bleeding heart manager woman, and they take me over to this car, and the police said, "Did you jump up on a car?" And I said, he said, "Earlier in the parking lot?" And I go, "Yeah." And he said, "What were you doing?" So I told him about Jesus. You know, that's what I always do when they ask me, you know. A number of police have pulled me over, and, you know, the day after I met Jesus, a policeman pulled me over. "Boy, come here." You know, and I told him what was going on. "What happened to you?" I said, "I met Jesus," you know. And he said, "Can you look at this car? Can you see what you did to it?" And I looked at the car and I said, "I don't see anything." And the policeman said, "Neither do I." And he said, "He didn't do anything." And the little bleeding heart manager started, she said I was trying to warp these kids. I'm like, "What do you mean I'm trying to warp these kids? They're already warped. I care about them. I'm trying to help them." Can I ask you a question? Do you not know that God loves you? Do you not feel God's like wanting you? Do you not know that He loves you for who you are? He's not mad at you for what you did. He knows what you did is hurting yourself, but it's also keeping you away from God. That's why a lot of you, some of you that are not born again, when I'm talking, it's just going over your head. You don't know what I'm talking about. Just religious words to you. It's got to start with being born again. The way someone gets born again is they need to realize that they were created by a God that made them, made you in His image. And He created you for fellowship. He is in her image for fellowship. Okay? But there's something between us and our God. You know what it is? Sin. You know what sin is? When you do bad stuff. And you know what happens? God said, "You know what? He says, I want to have fellowship with you, but that sin is between us." He said, "So what I'm going to do," He says, "I'm going to leave heaven. I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to create myself a body so I can come become one of you." And he was born of a virgin. He never sinned. He grew up obeying his mom and dad, taking the trash out with a smile, doing everything. Age 30, he followed his dad, became a carpenter. Age 33, he became a preacher. You know the first words out of his mouth? Look in Mark 1:15. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." God's like, "I allow for U-turns. You're going the wrong way. You want to come to me? Turn around. I'm right here. Turn to me." And then he preached and he exampled what it was to live a life that is pleasing to God. A life that helps other people. A life that you feel fulfilled and satisfied with. You know, you could do drugs. You could go drink. You could go ride the highest and fastest roller coaster. You could go, what? Spend money. Go ahead. What else? Overeat. Have sex all over the place. And you know what? You wake up. And it's like, you can have fun while you're doing it. The problem is then comes payday. You don't feel good. Things don't go well in your life. You don't have good relationships. You're miserable. That's why you got to drink more now because you're so miserable. How come I haven't had to drink in 38 years? How come I haven't had to smoke a dope in 38 years? Because when I met Jesus, it's like I tell the kids downtown, "What's up, man? Jesus, and you can't get higher than him, so why do you try?" Buh, 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 buh. So then I tell him about Jesus. Folks, I want to help you with your life, but it starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus, and then it continues with Jesus, and then it ends with Jesus. And I'm not just talking about going to church once a week. Well, don't I get a gold star for the day I came? You need a gold star? I'll give you one. I'm talking about living with Jesus. I'm talking about when you have hurts, knowing how to take them to Jesus. I'm talking about when you have needs, like the brother was talking about, how to take them to Jesus. I'm talking about when you go through life problems and somebody leaves you, you leave somebody, you're going through turmoil, your job, the economy, you know, all this stuff going on. I'm talking about how to live. I'm talking about how to have peace. I'm talking about how to sleep at night. I'm talking about how to do all this stuff without drugs and without booze. I'm talking about how to have a different marriage. I'm talking about how to have your kids grow up in a way that they are a blessing to you instead of you're constantly feel like you're a fireman and constantly having to put out fires, chase around behind them, fix all these things that happen. Does anybody want that? Anybody want to know about life skills? I'm glad three of you do. You know what? I'm serious as a heart attack. I need Jesus 24 hours a day. This young man, Tyler, this week, he ran out of gas and pulled onto my street two doors away from me. And I normally am not out that time of day, and I was driving. It was all God, you know. And I went to pull in my street, and immediately, and I saw him standing outside his car on his phone. Everybody's already got a phone stuck in their ear. And I'm on my phone talking to a customer. And as soon as I pulled on my street, I saw that car and him standing outside of it, and God said, pull over and help him. So I, by that time, got to my driveway. I backed up in front of his car, and I sat there until I was done with my call, got off the call, and I said, how can I help you? And he said, I'm out of gas. I said, is that it? And I mean, like, that's easy. So we got him some gas, and he started thanking me, and I said, it's not me. It's Jesus in me, because I'm just as selfish as anybody else. Don't think I'm a good person. I'm just somebody that has Jesus in him and lets him live through me. And then somehow we just got to talking about Jesus, and he was listening, and all of you know I like to talk. So anybody wants to hear about Jesus, I'm going to talk. And he came back the next day, and he brought me my gas can back, and he even put gas in it. I was excited. And he thanked me, and he told me, he said, I called my mom, and I said, Mom, he said, I don't want you to have a heart attack. He said, but I found a church I'm going to go to, or however he said it. No, it's my birthday, and I want you to buy me a Bible. He says, I know this is going to shock you, Mom, but I want you to buy me a Bible. And she says, you're going to go to church? He said, yep, but not yours. He said, I found this other one. You know what? I bet his mom loves Jesus. And his mom, though she would like him to be coming there, what she really wants is for him to be walking with Jesus. She wants to see Jesus in his life because she wants the blessing, the protection, the presence, the peace of Jesus in his life. That's what she's looking for. Not just be a member of a glee club, okay, we go to this building. It's about getting people to Jesus. Folks, you remember, I do, the other day when, what's her name? Maria gave a testimony. I don't even remember the whole testimony, the details, but she said, I talked to some lady and God got loose. And I just started telling them all those things you told us to tell them. And I don't even know how it happened. It was just coming out of me. And it's like, and that's what I said. All you got to do is just hang out with Jesus. All you got to do is be willing. And then when you get near somebody, God doesn't think you're the Pillsbury Doughboy. Instead, what God does is he pokes a hole in your balloon and then God gets loose. If you're full of God, God's going to come out. It's not that God thinks you're, you know, no, it's like he pokes and then he comes out if you're willing. And you know what? You can give whatever you've received. Many of you have witnessed to people. I hear that with Glenn a lot. He gets on a bus. He goes somewhere, and Glenn doesn't know everything, whatever. And when he came to us, he told us, he said, you know, He said, I've been in and out of church, in and out of Jesus for years. He said, but I started coming here and hanging out. And he started finding out that God loved him even when he's not doing right. You mean God loves me, but I haven't been obeying? God loves you anyway. He doesn't love you more because you obey better. You love your kids even when they're disobedient and rebellious. But it breaks your heart. And you do everything you can to bring them back in. We had a son that ended up in jail. He did a Grand Theft Auto. And he calls us from jail. Please, come bail me out. And we prayed. And I could hear God easy. My wife couldn't hear God easy because women are more tender than us men. I know y'all haven't noticed that yet, but I'm just telling you. Women are more tender than us men. That's why God puts male and female together to balance, you know. And my wife cryingly said to me, God doesn't want us to bail him out. God said leave him in jail. I said, yep. So we didn't bail him out. Now 2 weeks later, his grandmother bailed him out. But in those 2 weeks, when he got out, he said, I will never have anything to do with that again. Sometimes we have to make hard payments, go through hard stuff to learn the lesson. That's why I say we learn best at the end of a 2x4. It'd be better if we could just talk to you and you'd hear, but sometimes we don't hear and we have to go through stuff. No, I think I know better. Here's a postcard. Let me know how that works out for you, Tyler. Okay? It didn't! I know. But we're right here waiting for you. God had me call a man yesterday and say to him, I know you've given up on yourself because you are not consistent with God. I said, but I want you to know we haven't given up on you. And we're right here when you want to come back. We don't give up on people. God doesn't give up on people. And as people mature in God, they don't give up on people. But we as Christians often do. Because we're just human. But as you mature in God, you know what? You find out He doesn't give up on you. And you start believing that and living that. And guess what? You'll be able to not give up on others. I want to help you with your life. There's many lessons in this chapter. Would you do me a favor? No. Would you do yourself a favor this week? Would you read 1 Samuel chapter 15? It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Would you please read 1 Samuel chapter 15? There's 33 verses. Would you please read that this week? And then read it after you read it, then pray and say, God, show me what you want me to see. And then read it again. Is there anybody that would do that this week? Both of you. Good. Anybody else? I'm going to tell you. I don't know how. You know what we always come back to saying here? God loves you. And He's not going to quit. You know what God's love is? Unconditional and eternal. When people tell you, I love you, and then they backstab you, they leave you, they use you, they hurt you, I don't need that kind of love. That's one of the things I love best about Jesus. He just loves me for who I am. He never gives up on me. Sometimes I give up on myself because I'm like, I get tired of doing the same thing sometimes. I'm like, dude, I didn't mean to be rude to my wife. The other day, I was on a mission to do something. And my wife was standing there. I didn't even know I did it. And I pushed her and said, move over. And I went right by and afterwards she goes, Harvey, you know what you did? I go, what? She goes, you pushed me out of the way. I went, and I was just thinking about that yesterday because I walked up and she was in my way. And I went, oh, no, I'm not going to do that again. But that, I'm just a focused person. And it's like, you don't got to beat yourself up. You just got to bring it to Jesus. Jesus, will you forgive me? He said, I've been waiting for you to ask. I already paid for it. He said, now, would you like to have sweet fellowship? Come hang out with me. Come hang out with me. Come hang out with me. If you're married or you're with somebody, is life better when they're smiling? I can't hear you. Okay. What about this? I try to live in such a way so that any moment of the day I can like picture God and He's got a smile. In other words, I want to make choices that make Him smile. Not just that make me smile. I want to make Jesus smile. Are you with me? Brother Nate, we've shared with you what I believe God wanted. An altar call, which is this time of the service, is God taking what you've heard and dealing in your heart. He's been dealing in your heart. Now you have a choice. What are you going to do with this? Okay? An altar call is because we invite people to come up to the altar. Kneel. God, I want to talk to you. God, I want to give you my life. I want to know you. I want to please you. I need your help in my life. That's what it is. We're inviting you. If you see somebody with a badge, they're people that we trust, people that have been trained, people that walk with God. None of us are perfect. I'm the pastor. I tell people, if you expect me to be any better than you, I promise I will let you down, because I'm a good example of a rotten sinner that needs Jesus every minute of the day. Not better. I just walk with Him. You know what? It's one step at a time, one day at a time, walking with Jesus. But it's making choices. Making choices. I need you. I can't do it on my own, Jesus. Okay? And then Jesus will surround you with people that will be strong in the areas you're weak in. He'll help you. He'll start working things out. Having Jesus in your life is like having oil in your engine. When I was a boy, I mowed a yard and the mower stopped. I couldn't get it to start for nothing. I took it home, had my dad look at it. He said, son, you blew the engine because you didn't have any oil in it. It seized up. That's what our lives do, is they seize up because we don't have the oil of Jesus in our life. If God's dealing in your heart, you want to talk with God, come forward. If you need somebody to pray with you, there's people up here with badges, and we'll pray with you. Okay? Jesus, we just commit this into your hands. We thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we thank you that you love us, you care about us, you want us. We thank you for believing in us. There's nobody like you, Jesus. I commit each one of the people that are here into your hands. And I ask that you would follow each one home and deal in each one of our lives, Lord. That we would be honest with the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.